Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. Greetings to everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio land. And welcome to another episode of All About Service Dogs, hosted by yours truly, Doc Vinsel. Tonight, we will be featuring Dave, and he'll introduce himself and pronounce his last name for us because I forgot to ask him to pronounce it right. So, Dave, go ahead and introduce yourself and give us that last name pronunciation, and then we'll get on with it.
It's McAuliffe, Dave McAuliffe, in St. Paul, or North Branch, Minnesota.
Okay,
and
so McAuliffe.
Yep, McAuliffe. Like the astronaut a few years back, same name.
Gotcha.
Reason I got into service dogs, only recently, I'd say about 3 or 4 years now, I always had somewhat hearing in my left ear and better hearing in my right ear, but the past 4 or 5 years, I lost all my hearing in my left ear, and I think it's half gone on my right. They said I still have mid-tones, but I can't hear real low or real high pitches. And so I got a service dog mostly because I'm out in the parking lot. I cannot hear, rarely can hear a vehicle coming up behind me. Or if I do, with hearing from one side, I don't know where it's coming from or which way it's coming. So my wife and I decided to get an Aussie from Minnesota Aussies Rescue and train one. And her name is Rainey. She's 4.5 years old now. And she alerts me when cars are coming up behind me or we're in a store and someone's calling my name. So that's how we got to this point.
Okay, good enough. Let me backtrack just a little bit.
Okay.
And let me tell the folks that Dave is going to be sharing with us different things about service dogs and invisible disabilities, such as hearing, hearing alert dogs and whatnot, and give us a little benefit of his experience. And tell us a little bit about what they're doing and how they're trying to benefit the service dog world in general. So I left that out earlier, and I didn't want to be remiss. I want to give y'all a reason to tune in and stay with us. Make sure you go ahead and share and follow the episode, you know, press that follow link so that we know you're out there and that you get to get the alerts of what's coming down the pipe and what's going on. Okay, Dave, get that out the way. And so you decided that you wanted to get an Aussie.
Now, well, my wife, we always had different dogs, especially when I was growing up. But right now we have 2 Aussies. We had a Newfoundland, and my daughter, who was in service, left her little itty-bitty something-or-other before she went in service. And a little itty-bitty something-or-other, it was about 10, 12 pounds. I think it's a little too small for me because I'm 6 foot and, you know, a couple hundred pounds at least, if not more. And the Aussies need a job to be done. And the Aussies they need a job. And so for me, I think they're perfect for hearing alert dogs. And 3 years ago, when I had a knee replacement, and I started to notice that even without my hearing aids, I was hearing sounds but could not make out words. And I just decided I needed a dog to, like you said, a hearing alert to notify me that when someone's talking to me or out in the parking lot, a car is coming up. So I got a book from a lady named Ann Wicklin, who said her book was My Ears Have a Wet Nose. And mm-hmm. it's a great introduction book to do that, to alert, how to teach your dog how to become a hearing alert dog. Her husband, I think, lost his hearing too, so she can speak from experience, personal experience, which always helps. And I think that's really about 3 years ago, that's how I started. I'm sorry, Doc, this is my first interview too for anything like this, so bear with me here. But I, she's coming along. We've had some close calls in parking lots. She's pulled me aside. People, I think if they see you in a wheelchair per se or a crutches or a cane, I think they know you have a disability. But hearing loss is an invisible disability. Until someone starts talking to you, then they wonder why you can't hear them. One-on-one, I can, in a small confined area, I can hear people's voices. On the phone, which I have right now, it's turned up full blast. I can make out you. But other than that, if there's any white noise behind me or people talking behind me, I hear voices. I word this carefully. I hear voices, but I don't know where they're coming from. So I hope you understand why I have to word that differently. But
Well, Dave, as a therapist, I got to tell you, you don't want to go on the radio live saying you hear voices. You'll get knocked
out. Yeah, I know. That's what I just said. But I communicate with Doc off and on through Facebook, so I know he knows my sense of humor. But I think most hard of hearing people or people who are deaf, I think I'm closer to deaf than hard of hearing. You hear the voices, but you have trouble telling where they're coming from, which direction. If you hear a car in the parking lot, if I get off a sidewalk, I look all around me, and I think people notice that. Like, I'm just making sure there's no one coming at all because I'm not going to hear it. And you hear it, people talking around you, but you just have trouble, or I have trouble, differentiating different voices to different people. So it's kind of that's why I think a hearing alert dog is probably good for me when I'm out and about in the public.
Okay. I am going to say a couple things. You sent a shout out to Miss Ann Wicklin, and I've had her on my show a couple times. Well, had her scheduled a couple times. Had her actually on once. And I have copies of her books. She and I are, I guess we could say, colleagues. Won't say chums, but Ann does a lot of good work in the area of hearing dogs, but in service dogs in general. But so you took a good one to learn from. Now, did y'all decide to owner train your dog? Or did you have help, or how did you go about that?
We decided owner train. There's a couple organizations in Minnesota. One was willing to help me, but lack of motivation on her part. We just could not connect, no matter what. She was always too busy. I don't know. So then another couple said they will not train owners, but I can buy a dog from for $25,000, and it's a 2-year wait. And my wife used to train dogs, so she thought we can do this, and we have. A humorous thing on training, I take my hearing aids off at night. I know it drives her nuts, but because I have a special, it's a form that fills my whole ear canal, and it just feels good to take it off at night. And so Sue would teach Rainey to come and get me if she needs me. Well, once we were training Rainey, it was about a year ago, we have an L-shaped couch in our family room. So So she told Rainey, I guess, to come and get me. And I was sitting on the couch watching TV or reading a book, I can't remember. And all of a sudden I looked out the corner of my eye and looked up, and here's Rainey jumping over one of the couches midair, coming right at me. She landed on my lap on the couch, hit my leg with her paw, took off and jumped back over the couch. My wife says, you got to follow her. That's what she's trying to do. Well, I can't jump over a couch. Those days are long gone. But she's very enthusiastic, and she's very loyal. She really is. Whenever if I get the flu or something, she's laying right by my side and the whole bit. I think, for me, Aussies are a good fit for me.
Okay. Now, you decided to owner train your own dog, as you say, because your wife had prior experience with dog training.
Yep.
And basically, the organization in your area that you contacted, they didn't seem to work for you for one reason or another. Expense was one thing, and another thing was accessibility. And
yep.
So you said, you know what, by the time I got the money together and got with these people and got on, you know, got through their waiting list, I could have had the benefit of a dog that's working for me.
Correct.
And so that was your decision, and that answers a question that I like to ask people, because it is a decision people need to make. You know, how they're going to get their dog trained and how they're going to get their dog. Now, we talked about the decision of training, but how did you make the decision to get the dog first before the trainer?
My wife always liked dogs. I always liked dogs too, but she has a special fondness in her heart for dogs. And so she always wanted a blue Merle Aussie. So the owner or the director of, excuse me, of the Minnesota Aussie Rescue knew Sue was looking for a blue Merle Aussie and called her. So we went up there, northern Minnesota, near Fargo, North Dakota, and picked her up one cold winter day and brought her home. And finally, it just dawned on me, I forgot what show, I think like Sue Thomas, FBI, how she was using a dog to help her. And Sue looked over at me and says, maybe you should start thinking about something like this for yourself. I says, I'm not that bad. She says, don't kid yourself. You almost got hit in the parking lot again last weekend. So I was like, okay. So we had the dog before it more as a pet. We have both Aussies as a pet. The other one is trained as a nursing home. She trained as a nursing home mobility dog. So if she goes to nursing homes, the dog is like, I don't want to say therapy per se, but along those lines. And so we kind of put the horse before the wagon in this case. But for us, it worked out pretty good. And I got to know the dog, you know, as growing up now. She's, like I said, 4.5, and we started 3 years ago. And we started basic obedience. So I use hand signals, like ASL, sign language, lay down, sit, come. So even I'm far away, she can see me, and she does it.
Right. And so you use the ASL to train your dog, not what I'm going to call standard dog training hand signals. So
yeah, voice.
Basically, I'm not talking about voice. I'm talking about standard. You know, we have hand signals that we use for, you know, a good 15, 20 commands that they're pretty much standard. I mean, anybody has a right to use whatever commands they want to use and whatever signals. But, you know, there's some commands that, you know, people generally use the same ones. But
yep.
I find it interesting you're using ASL for your dog, which does a couple things. One, I can't come over and command your dog because, well, I can because I know some ASL. But, you know, just general population, is not going to sign to your dog. You know, if they use hand gestures, they're going to use other ones, and your dog's going to look at them like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yep.
Kind of thing. So that is a safety thing for you, and that's cool. And,
well, thank you. I never even thought of it that way. I just know ASL for sitting, so I did that, and then L, laying down. So I just show her symbol L, she lays down. I just never thought of that. Tell you the truth, never thought of that. I thought it was a natural progression of my learning ASL, teaching her. You know.
It makes sense.
Yeah, it does now.
Hey, stick with me. I'll teach you a lot if you just hang
okay.
on. Okay. But, I mean, it seems like I've heard your story several times, not necessarily from you, but from other people with hearing dogs and hearing alert dogs. So I'm having trouble with, you know, well, have I asked him that before? Have I asked him this? But, you know, wanting you to get a chance to tell your story, because there's people listening that the light bulb might go on for them and it might help somebody there. And so when training your dog, you had yourself and you had your wife as a backup. Maybe your wife took the lead. And for you, that was cool. Now, there's a lot of people out there who are determined to be an owner trainer, and maybe they don't have a spouse who had previous dog training experience. Tell us some of the pros and cons of training your own dog, especially as it is for hearing.
Well, I think the ADA law for dogs, the dog has to do three specific tasks for you, which she does. Alert me, people call me, she can come and get me. But mostly the thing that she mostly does, saves me for, is the parking lot notifies me when a car is coming up behind me. And it took a while for me to get in tune with her on that, because she'll see it and she'll start pushing me, and I'm not, at first I was not in tune with that, her pushing against me. I thought she was just, I don't know, see what's in the bag or is there treats here or whatever. But then I realized that she was pushing me aside because the car was coming up behind us. Well, she's looking behind us, and I thought she was getting distracted. She wasn't. She heard the vehicle coming. And so it's been a progress to get in tune with her on that. And so she sees a car coming, it'll push me aside or turn her head. I was like, good girl now, because that's what I want her to do. On the downside, I sometimes think we get too close to each other. I mean, she's the first dog I ever had that will follow me step by step everywhere, which if I kind of like, but then again, maybe, I don't know if it's supposed to be a barrier or, I don't know. It's, but I think it started when I was, was laying up on my knee, getting a new knee surgery 3 years ago. And I was home, and we started to do the imprinting and bonding then. And that's got us started with connect with each other, so to speak. Like I said, this is my first interview. I'm not quite sure. So we connected while I'm laying on my back for a month, and then when we got up and around my farm, she followed me around, and then we started taking lessons and connected with just basic, you know, puppy lessons like sit down, stay, and communicate with other dogs, or she get used to other dogs. She did a lot more training than just, I think I'm saying right now, but we went through a year and a half of canine training. So she knew how to heel, stay, come, all that. The basics. She has a very strong foundation of basics, which I think every dog needs. And I think we connected more and more and imprinted that way, too, because she got used to me instead of my wife being with her all the time. So she, I open the door of my truck now, she jumps in the back seat, like, okay, let's go, even when I'm not ready to go with her, you know. Excuse me. But it took about, I would say, about a year, year and a half of just a basic canine training before we proceeded on to the other stuff I learned from my ears have a wet nose. We found a trainer who's going to work with me, like I said, for hearing, because she does it. But like I said, just never connected quite a lot with her. So after two or three meetings, it's just she didn't return calls, I don't know why or whatever. So we kind of picked up, watched videos, YouTube, to find out how to get my training to fit my needs.
Okay, let me, I got to do two things. And you should probably get a drink while I do these two things. Of course, okay. One of them is going to be to ask you a question, so.
Well, I'll take the phone with me here.
Yeah, we do want you to be able to hear.
Yep.
You did mention the paying attention to the dog. And from what I think I'm hearing you say, the dog was naturally alerting to some things. And basically, you needed to pay attention to what the dog was trying to communicate. Because the dog will communicate some certain things that then you could shape and you can encourage, and that becomes work, because you have task and work, and that becomes work for the dog. Maybe not necessarily a task, but it is work, which qualifies under ADA. And the ADA doesn't give a certain number of tasks that it has to do. It just says train to do specific tasks to mitigate your disability.
Correct.
So, you know, some people.
I also used another guest I think you had on your radio show once, Donna Hill. And she's on YouTube.
I haven't had Donna on the show yet.
Oh, okay. Yet.
We're still talking about it. She's out there, Doc, I'm so busy. I'm so busy. And I'm like, okay, Donna, whatever. And so, you know, I tell her I'm just going to talk badly about her until she comes on the show. But she's busy
She gave me a good foundation, too. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
She gave me a good foundation on the touch, how teach a dog how to touch me and respond that way. She had a really excellent video on that with a clicker. So we did that as a foundation, too.
Okay, great. So the natural alerts are one thing. You have to pay attention to the natural alerts and grow off of
and
that.
And her cues,
But you spoke on regular lessons with the dog, and I got to ask you just to be sure what you're saying. Did you have lessons like you went to a course and there was a trainer there, a teacher there teaching you to work with your dog, or was this and
we did a basic foundation, canine foundation, like sit, heel, stay, you know basic dog training, so she knows you know, basic dog training, canine training.
Right. There's some of us that say that all dogs need that, and especially if you are going to be an owner trainer, you should take your dog through the, I'm going to say, AKC, Canine Good Citizen. There are other courses, but the AKC courses are widely recognized. And
give some credibility to the training if your dog has that certificate. And then if you're ever challenged, and then you have a written certificate. A lot of agencies, like if you're flying on an aircraft or if you're renting a home, or even if you're buying a home, but the homeowners association has issues, a lot of them are tied to, you have to, if you say this dog's a service dog, okay, you have to prove it.
Yep.
Now that goes beyond the ADA's public access, to where if you were out in a store, this is, you know, in the home or in that, and yes, you do have to prove it. So these courses, the basic obedience courses and courses like this, come in very handy because then you're able to prove it. Now, you can prove it otherwise with your training logs, but a lot of people, a lot of agencies, if you don't have an outside third party stamping off on it, then, you know, they question it. And so I'm glad to bring out that you actually went to a class, which, again, is also good for socialization of the dog.
Correct.
Because service dogs need to be very well socialized. And so you went to a class, and although you're an owner trainer who has a wife that trained dogs, you saw the benefit and the need to go out and join a year's worth of this basic dog training stuff to work with you in training your dog. Now, let me ask you a question. Was this year of training free?
Nope. I think was, if I remember correctly, I think 12 lessons were for $80. So 12 weeks. And we went through three sections of training, from novice to beginner to intermediate. In advance, I just decided that is at that time, for me, it was time, since she knew how to do all the basic canine, that it was best for her and I to start working on the next phase of hearing alert dogs.
Yeah, you went right on into into task training, because you felt like the dog was ready. And what you said earlier is something I wanted to point out, and something I like to emphasize, is that the working through that year-long worth of classes and three different classes or three different stages, you saw that it actually built upon the relationship with you and your dog. And when you're given the commands to your dog, and when you are taught to do these things and do them the right way, that formed the bond. And you said something really special. You said it helped transfer the bond from the dog and your wife to the dog and you.
Correct, yep. We have more bonding, more imprinting, if you want to use that, of the dog and me. Yeah.
And
I use that horses and train horses, and that's number one, the horses, imprinting, so they get used to you. And I, and my wife thinks imprinting with dogs is very, very important, too. You can tell that when a dog's been imprinted when it's born or not, or has been left alone, it kind of carries with them for a long, long time. I think.
Yes. And what people in service dog organizations like myself and people who are seeking to get a dog from a organization and people who want to rescue a dog
from a rescue organization, it's important to understand imprinting and understand the bond that's needed for a service dog. And, of course, depending on what the service dog is needed for, that bond, because there's certain things we can do to help the bond, and there's certain things we can do that's going to hurt the bond.
Yeah.
And so, and that's one of the things that I say is good and smart to at least get assistance from a dog professional. Because, you know, the law says you can own or train your dog all day long. And, you know, there's plenty of books, there's plenty of how-tos, there's plenty of videos. But you're not going to get it as good as you need to get it unless you have an outside third eye looking in and helping guide you through. Even
correct.
Folks like
critique,
myself
yeah.
who are, well, critique, train, stir, they see things that you don't see because you're in it. And some things you can't train and be in the training at the same time, because if you're, can you have a dog alerting you to something that you're telling the dog it's there? You know, that's kind of confusing the dog. So oftentimes a third party is beneficial. So I was saying I like the way you brought that out. And I was confused because for a minute there, I didn't think there was a third party involved. I thought it was just you and your wife training the dog. And so continuing to talk, I continue to learn. And
yep.
So let's see. Okay. Now, you did say your wife had prior training experience. I just want to hit this and then move on. Maybe I'll get something to jump off on. What kind of dog training experience did she do? Like, did she have show dogs, or did she just, you know, train her own dogs, or did she train other people's dogs?
She trained her own dogs. She had AKC German Shepherds at one time. She trained them as she took lessons too a long time ago from various trainers. So she picked up on it and talked to trainers and stuff like that. But she had German Shepherd, AKC German Shepherd, and she had a lot. We've been married what 36 years. We've had a lot of dogs over the years. So I think she knows which dogs are more attuned with a person versus ones that are more standoffish or more independent, if I can use that term, and then not in tune with you. I'm sure you came across, now I never, the only dog I've never really owned is a St. Bernard, so I don't know how independent they are or not, but we had a Newfoundland that was very dedicated, so that's the same big dog. But we have this little itty-bitty thing that's very friendly, but as soon as it gets bored with you, it walks away like, I don't care. But Rainey doesn't walk away. She'll lay down right next to me all the time. If she, actually, she'd probably sit on my lap if she could get away with it. But she's with me all the time. That makes a, you know, a big difference. And so we've had a lot of different dogs, a lot of different breeds, golden retrievers, golden labs, all different kinds, and each one has a plus and minuses. But the Aussie, I think, because they need a job to be done, that's why we picked that one, or using that one now.
Right, and I don't know if you noticed this, but I'll just try to stir this train in this direction and see what we can get.
Okay.
You had the dog as basically a pet, and then you saw that, hey, maybe this dog can help me as my service dog. And you were basically looking at hearing alert and service dog to keep you safe because of your lack of hearing. But then you mentioned that you had the knee issues
Now, I don't know how big your Aussie is, but usually they don't seem big enough to handle mobility for a guy of your size. So I don't know if you're using...
No, the mobility is my wife's dog. She has a Texas Blue Heeler and Aussie. And that's about 60, 65 pounds. And he's solid. I mean, he's 100% solid dog. And she says brace, he'll brace himself. So you can use him to push yourself up. So he's good in that area. But Rainey would not, she's more petite. I think she's about 40 pounds. So I don't think I could ever use her. But I brought my knee up because I was laying on the couch for a month. And there's only so many TV shows you can watch. And you get tired of magazines real quick. So I think we just quickly bonded that way very, very quickly. Because she was always there. She's very, I don't want to say needy, but she likes affection. And at that time, it was perfect for me because I was bored out of my skull. And we just clicked and it kind of took off from there. And, we had her since she was a pup. I mean, like 12 weeks old. I can't remember exact. But it's just, we always had her. But when I had my knee laid up on the couch, we just connected a lot better.
Yeah, and, you know, she was maturing at that time. And basically, you were the person that was giving her what she seeks. Some dogs are food motivated. Other dogs are attention motivated, praise motivated. And, you know, that's what she wants as her reward, is your praise. And you know, dogs can see in you when you think they've done a good job. And they
correct.
Can see in you when, you know, praise. They sense it, they feel it, and they love it, which is why a lot of the dogs that do competitive sports, you know, the agility and all this stuff, you know, they'll work their heart out just to get that 11 at the end of the course. And, you know, the more you give them loving, the more they're going to work their heart out. And these are some dogs that are, you know, that's their motivation. And so that's what you have. But what I was going to ask you is, have you found that as you've grown with your dog and as your dog's grown with you and as your conditions have changed, that she is doing more for you than just alerting for your hearing deficit?
She has. It's, I don't want to say therapy, but last week I had some surgery on my good ear, and I came home and I was crashing on the couch, and Sue took a picture. She was sitting there all day just staring at me, laying on the floor and just staring at me. So I knew every time I rolled over, she was there. I could scruff her, kind of help relieve the tension, so to speak. She's a companion also. And we just went to Mississippi. My wife bought her dog, I bought mine, and we thought we were going to have a lot of trouble because, you know, we'd never taken a dog on a 10-day trip with us before. And actually, they were good as gold. I'd do it again in a heartbeat. I was simply amazed because usually if my dog's not with me, I'm with Sue, my wife, and she, I don't want to say she alerts me, but she, of course, hears better than I do. So she can, you know, tell me if a car is coming or watch out or whatever, you know. But this time we took the dog with us, and it helped me a lot because I know she was there, got my back covered, so to speak. And also, if I was getting, I don't want to say stressed out or anything, but can't differentiate sounds, I just looked at her, and she looked right where the sound was coming, and I looked up, and that's where the sound was coming. So it helped me a lot just differentiate where the voices are coming from, when people are talking, or someone's calling me at a campground. And I just saw her turn her head real quick, and I said, something must be up, so I looked that direction of her, and that helped me, you know, differentiate where the voices and the people are talking to me are coming from.
Now, you just brought up two things. excuse me. And I'll try to circle back to the second one. But the first one is, you know, for a lot of service dogs, And this goes to people who maybe think there's cookie cutter service dogs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, dogs have to be individually task trained for the person that they are serving. And the handler needs to be individually trained for their dog. And what I hear you saying, and I'm going to let you confirm or deny, is that Rainy affords you the benefit of independent living. You don't have to rely on your wife so much. You can go out on your own, of course, with your dog, and feel safer doing it because you don't have to worry about something running up behind you that you don't hear, or you walking
Correct.
Out in front of something that you didn't hear, and or somebody calling you and you don't hear them, and they're thinking, oh, you're being rude, or, oh, you don't want to talk to me today. And, you know, with the dog, if you're paying attention to the dog as the dog is paying attention to you, then you get those alerts, you get those notices. But if you don't pay attention to your dog, then you're not going to get those alerts, you're not going to get those notices, and or, you know, you're going to miss some of them. And just like, you know, a lot of people say, don't distract my dog. My dog's working. Don't distract my dog. Well, sometimes with your dog, it's not distracting. Your dog's actually working, and it looks like it's being distracted. But your dog's working and alerting you to where this is coming from.
You know, well, Doc, you bring up a really good point that's just happened, too, when we're down in Mississippi or Kentucky, I forgot where. During the day, I'm a maintenance in a hospital or medical center. You break, I fix. I've been doing that for 30-some years. But at night, I'm a chaplain, a hospital police chaplain. And like I said, it works pretty good because in a hospital room, you're just one-on-one. You can hear people a little bit. But we're down there. Like, example, we were in Plains, Georgia, where Jimmy Carter lives. And we were sitting in front of a, I don't know, soda shop or something, and people came up to us and admired her because she's, or both of them, because they're, you know, multicolored Aussies, and it kind of opened up like a ministry for me too. Also 3 or 4 years ago, I never told anybody I was hard of hearing. I think everybody knew it, but they wouldn't say nothing because they thought they'd offend me. So since I've come out and said that now I do have hard of hearing, you must talk up, I can't hear you, I'm more assertive to say that, and I also have Rainy with me a lot of times, people will start talking to me also about they are hard of hearing, they didn't know where to turn and a whole bit, and she'll just sit there and let them pet her while we're talking. And she has the most beautiful blue eyes, so that kind of gets everybody's attention too. And she's silver gray and, well, you've seen the pictures on Facebook. She's silver gray and white. A little splash black here and there. So that gets people's attention. But when we're on, like, Fisherman's Wharf, I can't hear that because of all the waves and the boats going and coming. She alerted me. Like you said, people calling me thought I was rude. But she, her head spun around. I walked up and said, like, sorry, I can't hear. I'm deaf. And we start talking. It's been therapy for me too. Now I'm not, I always could get out, but now I can get out more. I don't have to worry about, I have to be one-on-one with someone. If someone's calling me, she alerts me so I can go over and talk to them or whatever. So it's been a blessing in that area too.
Okay. Well, Dave, as promised, I said I'd ask you some questions and it'd be just like we're having a conversation. But
okay.
Then I'd give you some time to just speak to the community out there that's listening, maybe some things that you would want them to know are some things that maybe you think just needs to be said. And, you know, you done said you're a chaplain, so chaplains are supposed to be able to speak a good word in season.
And so I'm giving it to you. I'm saying, Dave, what have you got to say that may encourage, may teach, may edify somebody who might be listening? They might need a hearing alert dog. They might have one. Or maybe it's any other kind of service dog. Speak to people right now, Dave.
Okay, I'm going to... Other service dogs I can't talk about because that's a different disability. And I, from personal experience, I cannot really comment on that. But my hearing alert, I can. It's teamwork between me and my dog. And you got to keep that. It's not her doing all the work. It's not me doing all the work. It's us working together. My wife even said once that it's harder to train me to get listen to her than the other way around. Because at first, like I said a while back, a little bit ago, that sometimes she would nudge me, and I thought she was trying to get candy or something, or a treat, when she's telling me, get out of the way, you dummy, here comes a car, I don't want to get killed with you. So that's it. The training, if you go a professional, which is fine, but a lot of people don't have 2 or 3 years to wait, or they don't want to wait. And with hearing loss, you get withdrawn. A lot of times people think you're rude because they didn't know you had the disability. They call you, you walk by, they think, well, that guy's kind of rude. And they don't realize you didn't hear them. Or you don't think they're talking to you for whatever reason. And I just think if people have the dog comes alongside you, it helps get you more comfortable with people. And yes, as a chaplain, I'm used to talking to people. But with my hearing going the way it is now, it's harder and harder to do it. And with her, she's like an icebreaker, so to speak. So if that's what it takes for me at this point in my life, that's what it takes for me at this point in life. The disability I've had, like I said, all my life, but the past 5 years has gone downhill tremendously, and different voices. If you don't hide it, if you need help, ask for help. If you're having trouble hearing, not because you need a dog, but if you can't hear, tell people. Reach out for help. Lions clubs, other places give out free hearing aids if you can do it that way, or maybe borrow against your 401, which I did to get my hearing aids 5 years ago. You just have to reach out to people and tell them that, yes, I can't hear you, I'm sorry. And you get tired of saying I'm sorry, but you don't want to be on a offensive with people, and you don't want to be defensive either. But people got to know where you stand and where you're hearing. And not because you want to be rude or you're asking for sympathy. You just try to tell people that I need help, and this is why I need help. You got to face me when you talk to me. And if there's other people talking around, lead the person down the hall and say, I can't hear you with all these other voices or all the other people talking. And all the machinery or the noise is coming. So you sit there and say, would you mind going down the hall a little bit so I can hear you better? You got to reach out and do it that way. Last week when I had a surgery on my ear, it's still funny. Life goes on. It's not all death and woe. I don't know if you ever heard of the game Mad Gab.
Yeah, I think I have heard of that game. But
you just make a sound, a word, and you guess what it is. Well, I don't play with my kids anymore because I said, oh, that's the word. And he says, no, it's not. Well, that's what I heard. Well, without my hearing aids last weekend, because my ear canal was so swollen I couldn't get my hearing aid in, my good ear, my wife says it's the whole weekend of Mad Gab. And I think something, I said, well, the bleach is out in the garage. He says, I didn't say nothing about bleach. I asked something about the wash. Oh, okay. You know, so it's you got to keep humor with the whole thing, too. And if you go around poor me and sour me, and it's not, or go on Facebook and tell everybody, you got to pity me, pretty soon you're all in the world by yourself, which is not good. Like I said, you need help. So let people know. But keep a thing of humor at. I think it's kind of humorous what I repeat it sometimes, and people give me that weird look, and then, well, I tried. You know, for example, I'm in a ham radio a few years ago. We were putting up a antenna behind the house, and we had this antenna lifting up and attaching to the house. And I said, well, let's wait for the boys to get home. And she said, let's go. Like, let's get going on this. We'll just finish it. I thought she said, let go. So I let go, and she broke her wrist trying to hang on to the antenna. So it's, you know, I'm sorry for her breaking her wrist, but it's humorous for both of us. And it's just, it goes with the ebb, goes with the tide. And you just keep going back and forth. I think people really, if you want a service dog, I think you have to recognize your need first, recognize your disability first, and work on that also before you think a service dog is going to be a cure-all for everything. It's not. It's going to be a tool that you use to get through life. But other people are going to have to know why you need a service dog, or you don't have one, but you're looking for one. Maybe they can help you out. I've had go out to restaurants, and people say, oh, can you sit here, or is it too noisy? I said, let's go in, try it out. Well, let's get a booth back there in the corner. You tell the waitresses, I can't hear. And, you know, people work it out with you. Another humorous thing, we were flying the funeral a couple of years ago, and my wife looked over and said, you know, they're paging you on the PA system at the airport. I said, well, I didn't hear nothing. She went up to the airport and says, you paged my husband, why? And then he said, well, your husband's deaf, he can get on first. And she said, well, if he's deaf, why are you paging him? Well, he never answered. So I was like, okay. It's stuff like that, you know. I was down that big airport in Georgia, outside Atlanta. I forgot the county, the one of it. Hartfield. Heartland. Hartfield.
Airport in Atlanta, yeah.
Yeah. But why are you paging yourself for deaf? It's like, I couldn't figure that out. I still haven't got an answer from that, you know. So most people, like I say, you got to keep a sense of humor. And that's probably one of the funniest things I ever did when I was traveling. You know, you tell people that. But on the other hand, when I realized I needed help was we were visiting Mazima, Arkansas, and finally the park ranger, I kept asking questions. He finally turned around and looked at me and said, are you deaf or something? I thought, wow, that takes a lot of stand. And I looked at him and said, well, my wife said, yeah. He said, no problem. Here, you got to let people know. Here's some earphones, and here we'll work with you. I says, that was a big turning point, too. It says, you know, I can't do it by myself. You know, and I think Sue, bless her little soul, I think she's a saint in this area, but I think she realized this is time for us to move on. We got to start looking at different tools for you to use, get through life. So, but it's little aspects all comes together at the end, and I think people, if they really want, you got to reach out. I mean, not clingy, not, you know, whining or anything like that, but just reach out and just tell people you need help. And if they, a couple people, you keep saying, well, you keep saying, I can't hear you. You got to look at me when you talk. They won't do it. Okay, fine. I don't need to talk to you. But you have to reach out 2 or 3 times at least to see some of these people. They might be busy the first time, but they won't talk to you. I rarely run into that sometimes. Only 1 or 2 people I ever walk away. And it's like, well, that's not too important to talk to you. But most, I think about 98% of the people are more willing to come alongside you and help you out and talk to you face-to-face or repeat themselves. A lot of people, like I said, invisible disability, people hear you talking to someone, they think, oh, he's, you know, what's the matter? And they talk to you across the room. You can't hear it. And you got to tell them. It's just, you got to reach out. You got to let people know. And we also, how I met you, if I may mention that, we have a Facebook page, People with Service Dogs. And I've got how many we have right now. It's 200 and something. Well, we have people from all over the world. And it's very, very interesting going on there. We have Natasha from Britain. We have a couple people from Ireland. And it's very interesting to see what people are doing for service animals around the world, how they're coping too. Britain has a totally different ADA, if I can use that. I know it's American Disability Act, but they have a total different way of doing things over there. It's interesting learning from her. She's trained huskies, which that's the first I ever heard, but she's trained huskies to help her with their hearing. She's deaf. So it's, we have people down in Asia. We have people, like I said, all over the world. It's very interesting for me to reach out in that way. At least I can type and read, if I can't understand the accent, reach out through the Facebook and touch other people's lives that way. And learn, too. I'm learning a lot from the other people, too.
Okay. Well, you said a whole bunch, and I tell you what, give you the microphone, you just stand right up. You just go right with it. And that's cool. Let me touch on a few things that you did touch on.
Okay.
And before I let you go, I'm going to come back and let you real slowly give that Facebook group in case you want to invite anybody to join the group. If you don't want to invite anybody to join the group, then, you know, just forget I said that, and we'll act like I never said it. But you said a few things I want to touch on, and I want to amplify. One thing was that, you know, a lot of people want to put everything, all the weight, on the service dog as if the service dog is going to be the cure for their disability. And you made the point and made it quite clear, and I love it, that the service dog is an aid, is a tool, is an assistance device. It's not a cure-all. So we have to learn how to use our service dog well and use it right, the right way, and not ask the service dog to do things that it's not supposed to do.
Correct.
But, you know, so it's not a cure-all, but it is an aid and an assistance device that we can use real well. I love that. You mentioned the fact that the handler and the dog are a team. And, you know, that's what we call it. We call it a team, a service dog team. And so that's you two working together for a common good. You depend on this dog for so much. Well, this dog depends on you for almost everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it is a team. It is a back and forth. We do have to esteem this dog, and because this dog is important to our life and to our quality of life. So that was a good one. I love that you did. And now, go ahead and tell people how they can get to your Facebook group.
Yes,
and what
Facebook
kind of people
call
you want in your Facebook group?
Well, that's it's people with service dogs. And basically, I try to keep a bit of humor, and I think you see the stuff I post, but also information about vets, dogs. We don't allow anybody to sell anything on there. We prefer you didn't even ask. Also, it's not a therapy page. I think we've had a couple people come on thinking, just unloaded on the page. It's like, well, we're not really here for this. We're here to communicate with service dog, plus good or minus, humorous or not, how they helped you out the whole bit. And that's what we're trying to strive for, just a connection with other people around the world with their dogs. So if you'd like to, just go on Facebook and People with Service Dogs and request. And anybody in owner training are interested with the service dog, all we ask is just keep it on topic. If not, you know, I guess we go down the rabbit trails and too much in our lives already. Let's just, on one page, keep a topic about service dogs. And, or, you know, and that's what we do. In fact, I think that's how I met you, Doc, because you're St. Bernard's. And we connected that way, and then we start chit-chat messenger, and one thing led to another.
Indeed, indeed. And that brings me to the last little thing that I saw as a parallel, and you just threw that out about the St. Bernard. You know, it's no secret that I breed, raise, and train St. Bernards as service dogs for little people with
autism. And when I say little people, I don't mean midgets. I mean young people, 2 to 6 years old. And dealing with autism and listening to you when you were giving your last spiel, I saw a lot of parallels. And, you know, a lot of the things that I use the service dog for, the same thing for people that are hard of hearing. One of your issues is if there's a lot of extra noise going on, it's hard for you to distinguish that one voice that's talking to you with all the background noise. Well,
correct, the white noise.
That's one of the issues with people, with some people with autism, is they have so much sensory input, they get overwhelmed with it, and they can't get that one piece that they need to focus on because there's too much other stuff. So, again, the service dog can help them alert to, you know, this one thing that's dangerous, this one thing that, you know, they might not have heard over here, or somebody calling their name and calling them back into space and time. And so I'm sitting over here smiling, and, of course, you cracked me up with that one comment, and that was so funny, in the airport. And I think that one might reach the blooper reel. That was hilarious. And yes, we do need to lighten up a little bit. And, you know, we have disabilities and we have abilities, and we don't need to let it be a downer. You know, we can laugh at it a little bit. Some things are funny. They're just funny. So if we don't take offense to it, and we can say, yeah, that was hilarious, you know, then it helps. If we take offense to everything, that's not helping at all. But I laugh so hard because it touched me so much, because I'll tell a story, and then we'll get ready to land this plane. But I had some friends that went to church with us that she was in a wheelchair. And I don't need to go into why she was in a wheelchair or whatnot, but she was actually wheelchair bound. She had no use of her legs. And one night at church, she was wearing some sandals, which happened to be Kino sandals. Now, Kino sandals are made by hand in Key West. I'm from Key West.
Okay.
And so they're made by hand in Key West. And so I'm from Key West. Those are Kinos. I recognize Kinos when I see Kinos. So we were talking about the Kinos, and, you know, she was like, oh, and so we were talking about the shoes, and she says that her shoes were like 10 years old. And I said, no way. Those shoes are brand new. You know, I said, those shoes got no wear on them at all. They're brand new. And I'm saying it to this young lady who's wheelchair bound. And she looks at me with a look, and then I heard what I said because of the look that she gives me. And she just, you know, takes a little ice pick and turns it like, oh, I got you now. And so, you know, she plays the, oh, now you're picking on me card. So she's telling people that I'm talking about her shoes look brand new. Her 10-year-old shoes look brand new, like I'm insensitive. Now she's teasing at this point. But I felt so terrible and so bad knowing she was teasing. But, you know, the people that were listening, you know, now they got a reason to rib me because, you know, I'm so insensitive I would make a remark like that. And she's like, oh, my God. And so I laughed to tears. And, you know, she's giving me that sheepish look like, gotcha. But, you know, she's still in character like, you know, I know I got you, but these people don't know that I'm just kicking at you. And so when you said that about the lady, you know, okay, you know he's deaf. Why are you making an announcement? Which, you know.
Sue says she looked at him and said that and says, it even missed a beat. They didn't even answer. He says, well, where is he? He's over there. It's like, she didn't even, they the airline didn't even answer. Like, okay.
Well, that's, you know, sometimes, you know, you catch people off and they don't get it. They don't get the connection.
Yeah.
It's like with some of these Facebook groups, service dog groups, you know, some of them are psychiatric service dog groups. And I have to always remind myself that these people would not be in the group if they were 100% thinking clearly.
Yep.
And so, you know, you got to expect some of the drama that comes on in those groups because of the people that make up the group. And, but for me, it's like, it's a surprise every time when somebody does something that I think is just, that don't make no kind of sense.
Yep.
But if
I think, you know, he did a subject of a month or so ago, and it went down rabbit trail that he had no control over it. And we kind of deleted it. I talked to you, and we started over and told the people, this ain't, you know, this is service dogs. This is not your therapist. And that's what we're trying to do is this page. Just talk about your service dogs. Or if you're interested, you don't have one, you think, well, I wonder if I would be all right for my husband or son, you know. Just interested in service dogs. They're looking for a way to support people with service dogs. This is your page for it. But this is not a therapy group. So I just want to keep that. Because lately, like some of these groups that are, like you said, doesn't make sense. But they're making comments on, this ain't the time or the place or the Facebook page to be doing this. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not deriding anybody with issues or, you know, but there's a time and place for everything, as my mom used to say. And this Facebook page is not really what I set out to have. It's more for, you know, humor, information, chit-chatting, get to know each other, stuff like that. And people post, and I think I learn a lot from, like, you and Natasha and some of the other people. And, like, Anne, she posted on her monthly thing from her hearing dog thing. So it's a learning experience as much for me as I think for anybody else.
And with that, I'm going to say two things. One, normally I give people a chance to call in and ask questions or comments, but we've gone over time, and if you were wanting to call in with a question or a comment, then I would suspect you would have already called in. But I'm feeling kind and generous, so I'm going to go ahead and give the number anyway. 646-668-2499. Now, if you want to call in with a question or comment, you got about 30 seconds to call in, and we'll see if we can't get you in. Now, if you call in with this question or comment on that line, I need you to press number 1 on your keypad once you get in. That will let me know that you actually have a question or comment and not just calling in to listen. So, you got about 30 seconds, 646-668-2499. Now, Dave, while I'm trying to give them an opportunity to call in, just because I'm a kind and nice guy like that, I'm going to give you an opportunity to give some final words, some salutations or whatnot to the people that are listening. And then we'll go ahead and land this plane.
Like I said, my dog is kind of outreach for me, but I think you made a really good point a while back. When service dogs are working, they're working. And when I'm walking through a store or something, that's totally different than me sitting on a park bench chit-chatting with you. So keep that in mind if you see people with a service dog going through a store, a parking lot, don't offer treats, stuff like that. But if I'm sitting on a couch and you ask, I have no problem with, but other people might. I don't know. That's up to them. But it's just, you know, keep in mind that just because you see someone with a service dog and you don't see a wheelchair or a crutch or a cane or something, it might be something else that you might not know about. It's never hurt to ask, but sometimes people don't want to be asked because they have been answering this for some time. It's just, you know, it's also, I want to thank my wife, too, for getting me started here 3 years ago with Rainey. She got the ball rolling, and she encouraged me to keep going and help me. And we're still training her now, so with Rainey. I mean, not my wife, Rainey. She's still training me, too. But it's you know, and she keeps me humble, too, sometimes. You know, you get full of yourself sometimes, these Facebook pages, but I go with the roll and go with the punches and, you know, just take each day at a time.
Well, there you have it. Well, Dave, I think we come to the time where I say, hey, man, thanks for being on the show tonight, and thanks for sharing so openly with us. And I'm sure that somebody out there was comforted, encouraged, and maybe even learned something through your conversation with me tonight. So I do appreciate you taking the time out to get online with me and speak to the audience.
No problem.
Folks. Well, all right. And to all my listeners, we don't have a good, fun name for you yet, but hey, I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you actually pressing the follow button on this episode and following us. And that lets me know you're with me, I'm with you. I'm trying to produce stuff of excellence each time that I get you to listen. So press follow, please. And when you see an interesting show or an interesting guest, share it with your friends, your neighbors, other people in our community, because we don't want to be isolated. We don't want to be shut in and shut away from everybody. This kind of gives people a sense of community, a sense that there's somebody else out there who's struggling with what I'm struggling with. There's somebody else out there who's overcome what I'm struggling with. And so we can help one another, and we can entertain one another. We can be company to one another. We can be one another's community. So let's do that. And I certainly appreciate each and every one of y'all. So I love you. Love yourself. Love your dog. And let's keep on doing this together. Now, come tomorrow, we're going to hear Maggie Christina. And she's going to talk to us about program evaluation, how to evaluate a service dog program. And some of the research, current research that's out on the benefit of service dogs and uses of service dogs. And so that's going to be real enlightening and real good, and you'll want to be attentive to that. So tune in tomorrow, same time, same place, different guest, same host, and we will see you then. God bless you, and good night.